from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 6, Verse 12. The killing of the demon Putana. Translation. This describes the demise of the demoness Putana. As Putana screamed loudly and forcefully, the earth with its mountains and outer space with its planets trembled. The lower planets in all directions vibrated, and people fell down, fearing that thunderbolts were falling upon them. Report. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that in this verse, the word rasa refers to the planetary systems below the earth, such as Rasatala, Atala, Vitala, Sutala, and Talatala. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. This expression in English. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. So Putana was very big. And when she fell, when she died and fell, the falling of Putana affected the whole universe. All the planets below the earth, Rasatala, Tala, Vitala, Sutala, they're all trembling and shaking. So Shukamuni is giving us some idea of the tremendous size and potency of the demon Putana. She's not a lightweight personality, very heavy weight, great burden on the earth. So when that burden was removed, of course, everyone was happy. But now, while the burden is being removed, everyone's falling on the ground and they're full of fear. Vajranipata Shankaya. They think the Vajra, they think that there's so much shouting, there's so much loud roaring and noise and trembling and vibration, they think it's a devastation or destruction of the universe or some huge storm. Everyone's taking shelter of the ground, holding onto the ground and crying in fear. Vrijavasis. So this is something like removing a narthus from the heart. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Chaitanya Shikshamrita that these different demons in Braj Leela, Naimittik Leela of Krishna, occasional Leelas, they represent the unwanted things within our heart, the undesirable objects, or the undesirable desires in our heart. So Putana, she represents anarthas of cheating, showing one thing to the outside, but having a different inside. When Putana came in the village and entered the house of Nanda Baba, she showed outside, externally, very, very beautiful, like a demigoddess. Like the goddess of fortune. Very fragrant body, very beautiful effulgent body, very opulent dress and ornaments, pleasing demeanor, smiling countenance. And so Yashoda and Rohini and everyone greeted her, welcome, welcome, swagatam, swagatam. They did not know that she was Putana, that she was from hell. They thought she was a Swarga Devi. They didn't think she was a Put Devi. She's a Put Put Devi. Putana. She's from hell. She came from hell with a hellish intention. Demon. But externally, very, very attractive. Very, very pakka. Beautiful. But internally, all poison. Externally, the breast of a mother. Externally, the milk of a mother. Externally, the attitude of a mother. Externally, she was coming to serve. But internally, she was coming to kill. So the poison was there. And her motivation was poisonous. And her desire was poisonous. And her breast was covered with poison. She wanted to kill Krishna. So she's Putana. She's a very hellish personality. But we see that Krishna is very kind. He removed this demon. But there's something here that we can, one tangential point we can consider. That she came very beautiful and attractive to everyone. And then she got her way in Nanda Maharaj's house and picked up Krishna and offered her breast to him. And then she revealed her true nature, her ugly nature, her hellish nature, her demoniac nature. So this is a type of cheating. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Putana represents a type of cheating. Someone that externally looks very nice or speaks very nice, but internally they're not very nice. They're hellish inside, hellish mentality. So this type of mentality is an impediment. This is an impediment, or it blocks Braja Bhajan, Prema Bhajan, to come to the platform of pure devotion, pure service to Krishna. The outside must be pure and the inside must be pure. It's more important to have a clean heart and a clean mind than clean clothes. Although that's also there. So that's why we stress Cheto Darpanam Marginam. Cheto Darpanam. We don't say Kapra Darpanam or Kapra Marginam. We say Cheto Darpanam Marginam. We must clean the Darpan, Chit Darpan, the mirror of the heart. The Chit, the consciousness must be cleansed, must be bright and effulgent, sparkling like a diamond, sparkling like gold. So Putana, she was showing outside, see, look, I have lakhs and lakhs of diamond necklaces and gold bangles and earrings and nose ring and rings and everything. Very shiny gold, very sparkling, crystal, sun-like, star-like diamonds around my neck, my necklace, Hiramala, diamond necklace. But if we look inside her heart, we look beyond the veneer, we look into her heart, then we see, oh my God, it's the blackest and most filthiest, dirtiest thing I've ever seen. So her chit, her consciousness, her body, very attractive, very shining and sparkling and beautiful. Beautiful white teeth shining like pearls. But when we look inside her heart and her mind and her chit, her consciousness, it's completely mal, completely dirty and filthy. So she was coming, so she cheated. She cheated with her soft and sweet speech, she cheated. And with her decoration and garb, she cheated. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that this Putana represents this type of bogus guru. Or this bogus, in other words, that not only does, when you say, oh, Putana represents the bogus guru who looks very nice, beautiful flowing beard, beautiful shining silk cloth, and so many, has a ring for every planet on every finger, on 9 fingers he has 9 different rings, of course one contradicts the other, but anyway, on all fingers he has different rings, and nice spotika mala, what is it? Crystal necklace, very big crystal necklace, and Rudraksha beads here. Huh? And some big, very big earrings, jeweled earrings. And then he's speaking, yes, actually, everyone is God. I have realized that I'm God, and I will teach you the process, and you can realize you're God also. It is very easy. First, you have to leave this world by levitating. I'll teach you levitating. Once you learn to pick your buttocks off of the ground, then, because first, before we can realize we're God, we have to get out of this world. So let me teach you levitation first. At least you'll get something above the ground, 1 inch above the ground, and bounce around. Then, by more advanced courses and techniques, and of course a little more don, a little more fee, then you will realize you are God. Then you can open your own meditation school. You can open your own meditation school and compete with me. But right, so they're cheating. There's only one God, Ekaleshwara Krishna, Arasabhya Britya. There's only one Supreme Parameshwara, Controller, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Ram, Narayan, Vishnu. Everyone else is a servant. Everyone else is dependent and subordinate and tiny and small. So they're cheating. They cheat people. Externally, they speak very soft, very poetic. They never raise their voice. They never use vulgar language like the Swami. They never say, get your off the ground. They speak very poetically, very sweetly. And when you listen to them, you feel so relaxed and so comfortable, you want to fall asleep. And they do. And Prabhupada said when he went to New York, when he was in New York, he said, yes, I saw in Mishra's yoga class, there were so many students sitting and they were all snoring. And Prabhupada himself, as you must be knowing, he listens all the time, Prabhupada imitates the snoring of the sleeping yogis in the guru's class. Because he's speaking so softly and so slowly, we have to realize that we are all God. There is nothing to be excited about. Don't disturb your mind. Shanti, 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 he. Bogus! Rascal number one! Fool number one! This is how our founder Acharya preached. With a sword in one hand, sadhu, chopping, and the Bhagavatam on the other hand, Siddhanta. First you chop away the illusion, you chop away the cheaters, then you establish Krishna Sambandha, the foundation of reality, Siddhanta. But this is Prabhupada's preaching. Sometimes very heavy language. The word rascal is a very heavy word. Rascal, mudha. Then Prabhupada would be a little... He said, these are not my words. These are not my words. These are Bhagavan's. These are Krishna's words. Namam duskritino mudha. Duskritino mudha. Fool, ass. I didn't say it. He said it. Krishna said it. So this is Putana. A Putana and Artha. So we think, well, I'm not a guru. And I don't have a long beard and flowing silk robes, so that doesn't apply to me. I don't have any title, Ekazar Ot, Shastra Shiromani, Brahman Dvijamani, Mahamandaleshvara, Mahapadhyaya, Jagadguru Parivrajakacharya, etc., 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 MBS, MBS, PhD. So we think that's not me. I don't have a safari car. I don't have any car. I only have where's our Lada Damodar? He has his little 800 Maruti. I have a tiny car, a little small seat, and I'm a small man. But I'm doing Krishna's service. I'm using this chariot for Krishna's service, no? I'm Dhananjaya. I'm a Dhananjaya Parampara. The original Dhananjaya with the original chariot was Arjuna. And he went in his chariot, and he went collecting. And he came back to Hastinapur, and Yudhisthira would read the results in the morning. Hey, Bhagavan. Hey, Sri Krishna. Let me read the Sankirtan results from Arjuna. Yesterday, Arjuna collected 10 crores of rupees for the Rajasuya Jagya. Hari Bhav, Arjuna ki jai ho, ba 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 ba. So Arjuna, he is the Dhananjaya. He was a winner of wealth. He went out to collect Lakshmi for this Rajasuya, to establish the worship of Krishna in Delhi, isn't it? So Radha Damodar is going out on his rath, following the footsteps of Arjuna, and he's going to the different kings, the Tata king, the Birla king, the kings of the different kingdoms of India and Delhi. There's the Tata kingdom, so, oh, Maharaj, Tataji, please, you can give some dan for Radhaparatha Sarthi's Rajasuya Jagya. Acha. What do I get? Oh, you get 3 days free in every guest house. Oh, yes, sir, okay, here you go, 20,000 rupees, chalo. So like this, they're also collecting. So we think that I'm not a big guru. This Putana Anartha doesn't apply to me. But when we see what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining, he's describing these Anarthas in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam as something that we all have, guru or not guru. And we are aspiring for Radha Govinda Prem Seva, for the eternal loving service of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. And so we have to examine, is there some of this Anartha, is there some Putana in me? Is there some hellish quality in me? Some Putana Lakshana? Hellish characteristic? Putana Guna? And we can think, we can see, yes, certainly there is. Like Putana, very nice cloth, very shining cloth, very nice rings, very, very nice, looking very nice, speaking very sweetly. But if we look inside our heart, so much calm, crowed, low, moha, matsarya, so much black, filth, tar and coal and dirt and stool and filth inside the heart. So this is the Putana. And we may speak very sweetly, and we may describe to people, oh, my dear sir, because we are also acting as guru by our achar and by our prachar. Every devotee is a guru by his behavior and by his speaking. So we go to the gentleman and we say, dear sir, please, your life is being wasted in material activities. You'll spend your whole life this way, and what will you get at the time of death? You'll die with nothing, and you're living all, doing all nonsense activities. You'll suffer in next life, bad result of your bad karmas. Please rectify your life, purify your life. And actually, do you know, my dear sir, prema purushartha, the actual goal of life is Krishna prema. We should love Krishna. We should serve Krishna with love. And we should dedicate our lives to Krishna. And we should serve Krishna with devotion. And not have any other second agenda. So we speak like this when we preach. But, are we cheating? Are we a little bit like Putana? We're speaking so nicely, but we look inside ourselves. Because sometimes when we preach, the gentleman will say, you're telling me I should dedicate my life to Krishna. I should serve Krishna with love. I should develop pure love for Krishna. Well, that sounds very nice. Very attractive, very sweet talk to me. But my question to you is, are you dedicated fully to Krishna? Are you serving Krishna with love? Have you given up your material desires? Are you pure? Then we may feel some embarrassment. You say, well, actually, there's not much difference between me and you. You have some bad qualities. I have so many bad qualities. But see, the only difference between me and you is that I'm trying to improve myself. And I'm trying to come to the platform of dedicated service to the Lord. And trying to come to the platform of love of God. I'm attracted there. But there is a lot of dirt inside of me. There's a lot of filth inside of me. Yes, I admit that. But I'm trying. So, and in my attempts to attain perfection, I am feeling a reciprocation from the Supreme Lord. He is blessing me. He is encouraging me. And He is establishing, out of His own mercy, a relationship with me. The Supreme Lord has accepted me as His own. Fully, He's accepted me. And He's taken full charge of me. But I have not yet fully accepted Him because of my anarthas, because of my contamination. Jaya Radha Partha Sarathiki. So like this, we can see that in our attempts to be guru or teacher by our example or our precept, our preaching, we see that there's a lot of Putana within us. We have a lot of cleansing also to do. We have to remove this poison from our heart. And we're reminded here in this story of Putana, which is slowly evolving day by day, describing the verse by verse, how she came, how she tricked Mother Yashoda and the Brijvasis, how she picked up Krishna, and now Krishna is, she's dying, describing her death. She's falling down, and next couple of verses she'll be finished. As Prabhupada says in these same verses in the Krishna book, he says, now the nightmare was over. The nightmare was over. Nightmare means bad dream. Nightmare. So, at first she came so nicely, but then she frightened everyone and terrorized everyone in Vrindavan. And all over the universe, they were trembling and shaking. So it was a nightmare. It was a bad dream for everyone in Vrindavan and all over the universe. And then Krishna finished her. So we can consider Bhaktivinoda Thakura's sagacious advice in relationship to this anartha, Putana, that it's not enough to externally look like a devotee. Don't fool yourself. Don't continue to mislead yourself and think, oh yes, I'm a devotee. Look at me. I'm a devotee. I have tilak. Nice tilak. Nice cloth. Sari dhoti. Kantimala. Now I'm a devotee. Now I can relax. Now I can retire. My work is finished. I surrendered. I joined. I'm chanting 16 rounds. I'm following the four regs. Four regs, well, big deal. Your great-grandfather and all the great-grandfathers of India, that was their way of life. It wasn't a significant accomplishment to avoid these four sinful activities. Big deal. But in Kali Yuga, it's a big deal. If you can give up onions and give up garlic and meat and fish and eggs and not have sex with your girlfriend, boyfriend, animals, dogs, whatever. It's a big thing. And it's a big thing if you give up whiskey and cigarettes and bidi and tea and coffee. Right? No intoxication, no... No, it's a big thing if you can not gamble. Not play lottery, state lottery, this lottery, that lottery. Not play cards, not all these things and gamble. It's a big, big thing. So we think, oh, look, I've given up these four sins. These are the four sins. These are the prohibitions. But this isn't the goal of life. These four sins are meant to be avoided so that we can develop four religious qualities. These are not the... Like someone says, I'm following the four regs. That's a wrong statement. I'm following the four regs. That's incorrect. The four regulative principles. We're avoiding the four sins so that we can develop four qualities. And what are those four qualities? We are trying to develop four qualities of a religious person, of a dharmavir. You know dharmavir? We have our dhanavir. Dhanavir Maharaj was just here. So he's chivalrous and heroic, vira, in giving donations. And his donation is Krishna consciousness. So he's giving Krishna consciousness, which is the greatest welfare work, para upakara. So he's dhanavir. But there's dharma. Dharmavir, one who's very heroic and chivalrous in upholding religious principles, the Dharma Shastras, and leading an exemplary life. Yad yad acharati shrestas, tat tat evetarojana, sa yat pramanam kurute, lokas tat anavartate. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the acharya, he establishes the example. That's dharmavir. So the four principles of religion, this is what we're trying to develop. And if we avoid these four sins, we'll never be able to develop the four religious principles. So what we're trying to do is develop four principles. So what we should really work on is not saying, oh, I'm very successful, I'm surrendered, I'm initiated, I chant, I follow the four principles, I'm really special. We already established that it's very unique and very special to avoid these four sins in Kali Yuga. No illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating. Whereas your great-grandfathers in Bengal and Orissa and Bihar and everywhere, that was their life. They didn't think, oh, I'm a big yogi. I'm a big bhakti yogi. They just thought, this is life. This is civilized life to avoid these sins. They were all vegetarians and they didn't gamble and they didn't drink. They drank milk and lassi, not coffee, tea, and liquor. And they were vegetarians. They didn't gamble. They chanted the holy name and they studied shastra. They lived pure life. It was an ordinary way of life of civilized human beings in India 200 years ago, 100 years ago. So the real issue is not that I'm avoiding the four sins, but the real question is, are you developing the four principles? So this is what we should actually say. Oh, Maharaj, you know, I'm trying to... I'm avoiding the four sins by Krishna's mercy and Guru's grace. Guru Kripa, Krishna Kripa. I'm avoiding the four sins, but what I'm really working on, I'm trying to cultivate and develop the four principles of religion. The four qualities of a dharmavir, of a religious person. He has four qualities. What are they? Panditji. Anyone in English? I always remember it like this, because when we were in university, we had to remember so many things, because myself and Krishnapriya and his wife and others, we went to medical school and we had to study so many bones and so many this and that and long lists. So we learned by some association or some code. So I always learned these four principles of religion. MCAT. It sounds funny, but MCAT. MCAT means, I remember the code and then I know what it means. MCAT. M is for mercy. C is for cleanliness. A is for austerity. And T is for truthfulness. MCAT. M as in Mukunda. Cat. C-A-T as in Billy. You know, Billy. So these are the four qualities that we have to work on. How merciful am I? How clean am I? Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. This is the cleanliness. This Putana represents the antithesis of these qualities. She was not clean. She was filthy with material desire and sin in her heart and mind. She was not merciful. She wanted to kill Krishna. So we say, yes, I'm a devotee. I want to serve Krishna. No, you don't. You want to kill Krishna. You want to enjoy Krishna. You want to take from Krishna, steal from Krishna. You have no mercy. You're a Putana. You've come here to kill Krishna and establish your own kingdom and your own reign by using Krishna's money and Krishna's power and Krishna's position and Krishna's fame. Krishna made you famous. Krishna gave you position. Krishna honored you. Now you want to kill him by taking all of his things for your sense gratification. That's not merciful. Truthful. Putana was not truthful. She said, I'm your mother. Oh, Krishna, I'm your mother. Oh, but she was his killer, murderess. But she's cheating, she's lying, she's not telling the truth. So, are we telling the truth? Are we truthful to ourselves? Are we honest to ourselves? Honest to Guru? Honest to Krishna? Can we honestly come before the deity and fold our hands and say, Krishna, I'm for you. I'm here for you. I'm here to serve you. I don't want anything from you. If you give me some prasad, nice. If you don't give me prasad, also nice. I'm not leaving. I've come to surrender to you. Krishna Sharanam Mama, you are my shelter. I've come to serve you and love you and surrender. You do whatever you want with me. You can beat me or trample me or feed me or starve me or kill me or do whatever you want. I'm not going anywhere. I'm here for you. Can we come truthfully before the deity, fold our hands and say that with a clean heart and mind? Then? Where's the truthfulness? Mercy, cleanliness, truthfulness, austerity. What is that? Never heard of it. Never saw it. Some kind of word, tapa or something. I don't know, tapa, tapasya. That's something of the old days, you know. You read about the histories, the Puranas, itihasas, about these rishis and sages. They were Dhruva Maharaj, something about tapasya. I heard about it. I remember reading millions of years ago. Tapo divyam putra kingena sattvam shudyad yashmad brahma sokyam tvanantam. Rishabhadev talks something about tapo divyam, divine austerity, bhakti tapa, austerity for Krishna. Chaturmasya brata, harivasara brata, ikadasi brata, janmastami brata, gorpranim brata. Austerity. Self-sacrifice, giving up our pleasures, giving up our comfort for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. This is austerity. So these are the four principles of a religious person. So we still have a lot of Putana within us. There's a lot of Putana within us because we have not come to the platform of perfect 100% truthfulness or perfect 100% devotional austerity, a life of austerity. How does Prabhupada define austerity? What is the definition he gives? Many definitions, but the one that's relevant for man, woman, baby, child, fat man, thin man, strong man, weak man, every man. A particular definition is relevant and applicable to everyone in this room, if you fit any of those categories that I mentioned. Fat man, thin man, strong man, weak man, lady man, man. Child man, baby girl. The trouble a disciple takes to execute the order of the spiritual master, that is the definition of tapa, austerity, tapasya. The difficulty, the hardship, the endurance, the determination, the surrender, the prayer that a disciple takes to please his guru. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadat nagati katopi. I want to please my guru and get his prasad. That's austerity. So we can ask ourselves, am I austere? Am I performing that austerity of surrendering and working hard to please my guru and satisfy him? So in this way we can say, I am actually I'm not much of a devotee at all. I can say I'm avoiding the four sins. I'm avoiding the four sins. I'm chanting some mala. I have a little tilak and kanti mala. But am I a dharmavir? Am I really a devotee? Am I really religious? Am I a religious person? Am I fully developed? Am I fully developed and realized and embodying and expressing and emanating these four qualities of a religious person? Because there's unlimited depth and unlimited depth to these four qualities, these principles: mercy, cleanliness, truthfulness, austerity. Mercy means karuna. Karuna means preaching, compassion. When's the last time we distributed Prabhupada's books? When's the last time we even spoke to anybody about Krishna? Every day we go to the market, and every day we clean our house, and every day we do this work and that work. Do we ever tell anyone? Our mother, brother, sister, uncle, cousin, nephew, niece, second cousin, third cousin, tenth cousin, ninth. Do we ever tell anyone about Krishna and preach to them? So where's our mercy? So each one of these qualities, better we say, instead of saying, oh, I'm following the four regs, well, forget about that. That's human life. Because you're in a human body and you're civilized to some extent, I assume that you are following the four principles, you're avoiding the four sins. Now, let's address the real issue, is how are you developing the four principles of a religious person? Are you going to continue to be a putana rakshashi? Or rakshasha? Or are we going to actually remove this anartha, this irreligiousness, this cheating within us? The degree to which we're not embodying these qualities is the degree to which we're cheating ourselves and others. Which means that's how much putana is within us. And that's an anartha. And that's an impediment. And that's an obstacle that will prevent us from ever attaining Radha Govinda Prem, Seva, in Vrindavan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur specifically says that putana, agasura, bakasura, Srinavarta, all these 20 demons, they represent obstacles to Braja Bhajan. You want to enter, must be removed. They must be removed. So putana is a serious anartha that has to be considered in a very deep and reflective way. So we're trying to shed some light on the significance of putana. How does putana, this hellish rakshashi, apply to me? Is there a hellish rakshasha? Is there a hellish rakshashi in me? Is my mentality like a rakshasha? Mercy, cleanliness, austerity, and truthfulness. When we come to the guru and we promise, oh Gurudev, I promise to avoid these four sins. But we should really promise, and Gurudev, I promise to avoid those four sins. So there's yama, niyama, there's do's and don'ts. That's the negative. I promise not to be a rakshasha. Dear Gurudev, I promise to avoid these four sins, which means I promise not to be a rakshasha. But then simultaneously we should also promise, I promise to become a dharmavir. I promise to become a religious person. Oh Gurudev, I promise to my best ability, in my most sincere effort, with all my diligence and determination and surrender and best effort, I will try to cultivate the principles and qualities of a religious man and woman. I will try to become merciful, MCAT, and I will try to become clean and austere and truthful. Truthful to you and truthful to Krishna. Clean in my mind and clean in my heart. And live simply, austerely. Just take what I need to live. Eat what I need. Eat to live, not live to eat. I need one chudder, one hat. I don't need 10 topis and 10 chudders. If I get more, I give away. I will not over-collect. So in this way, this is a real diksha. This is a real initiation. Not just promising to not be a rakshasa. We have to come to the platform of perfection, of pure devotion. And a perfect pure devotee exhibits these qualities in an unlimited degree. These are the four qualities: mercy, cleanliness, austerity, and truthfulness. These are religious qualities, the four religious qualities, the four religious principles. And a pure devotee has these in unlimited quantity. You examine Srila Prabhupada or our Gurudev. If you want to see how merciful are you compared to the mercy of your Gurudev, how austere are you compared to the austerity of your Gurudev or Srila Prabhupada as the ultimate absolute standard to measure. How truthful we are, how clean we are, mentally and physically. So we may be surprised to find that we have a very beautiful face in the mirror and very clean cloth, but inside there's a 12-mile-long demon, Rakshashi, with long teeth, which we'll hear about. Her teeth are like plows, and her claws are like, and her fingers are like mountains, and there's a Rakshashi and Rakshashi inside of us. The devil inside. The devil, the Diablo, Maya, you can say. So this Putana has to be finished. One blow from Krishna. Just once. Just one blow. Just one hit from Krishna. How will Krishna hit? Just once. Chant without offense. Namabhas. Just once. And watch the demons fly out of your body. Watch the rakshasas crash down, and your body will shake and tremble like the earth and the rasatala and alatala. What are all these different ones? Vitala, atala. They're all these planets are shaking and trembling when Putana crashed down in their death. So when that nightmare of Putana finally leaves, when Putana finally leaves our mind, and Putana finally leaves our heart, and she crashes down on the ground before us, and we'll be trembling and shaking from the experience of chanting Namabhas. We'll be liberated from the clutches, the strangling clutches of Putana. She has us in her grip. She's strangling our bhakti. This Putana is aparat personified. Putana is sin personified. Putana is hell personified. Putana. So, that's within us. So as long as we're chanting with aparat, then as long as we're chanting with offenses, then Putana is still strangling us. Strangling us, clenching our neck, strangling us means strangling our bhakti lata. She's pinching it. So we can't go forward. So Putana must be killed. Kill the Putana, kill the demon. Who can do it? No one can do it. No one can do it. But Krishna can do it. Krishna Nam. So now there's all of us have like two faces, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. The famous English story. By day, the person was a professor, ordinary civilized person. But by night, he became a werewolf. He became like a demon. Long teeth would come out, and like a vampire. But everyone in the daytime, they thought he was just Krishna Das. He's a nice devotee. He cleans the temple. He serves prasadam. But then at night, so inside us, there's this Putana. Long fangs, long nails. So Putana must be killed. So let's pray to Krishna's name. Allow me, please bless me, that I can chant just once without offense, so that my mind and consciousness can become cleansed, chaitodharvana marjanam. I can get free from this demoniac influence and actually develop these wonderful, beautiful qualities of a religious person. Mercy and cleanliness, austerity and truthfulness. These are divine qualities. These are the qualities of the soul. These are the qualities of God. These are godly, divine qualities. These are sura sampat. These are the wealth of devotees, of divine personalities. Hare Krishna. Krishna, in Vrindavan, our acharyas are saying that there's so many demons that he killed. But there are 20 particular demons, and this is a realization and contribution of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this specific idea of the anarthas. And there's some other discussions other places, but especially Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that these demons, he is, of these 20 or 19 or 20 demons in the Krishna book, 10th canto of Bhagavatam, they represent they're archetypal demons or archetypal asuras, and they represent 20 anarthas to Braja Bhajan. Another way of saying that is that there's, if you want to attain prema bhakti, Braja Prem, Radha Govinda Prem Seva, in Gokula Vrindavan, in the topmost planet of the spiritual world, then you must be totally free and pure of the 20 anarthas that are represented by these 20 demons. These are the 20 major anarthas. If you examine all these different demons and the anarthas they represent, basically it covers all the permutations and all the expansions of various, you know, branches of those anarthas that you're explaining about, the three modes of nature and the combination of 3 times 3 is 81 times 3 is 8,400,000 species of life. Prabhupada Montepi explains that there's 8,400,000 species of life. How is it? 8 lakhs? How's it go? 8 lakhs? Trosi lakh species, Joni. 8,400,000 species. He explains that why is there 8,400,000 species? Because there's 8,400,000 different desires to go away from Krishna. 8,400,000. So these 8,400,000 independent desires or desires to enjoy separately or independently of Krishna manifest themselves in particular desire forms, or you can say icha rup. To express your desire, you need a rupam, you need a form. So there's so many different forms, which are byproducts. These forms, these 8,400,000 forms are created by different combinations of tamagun, rajagun, and sattvagun. So these demons, basically the summary of it all is that these 20 demons, which represent 20 anarthas, and some of them are killed by Balaram, and some are killed by Krishna, because the big heavy ones they represent very deep, major anarthas are killed by Balaram with that extra spiritual strength. They represent the sum total, although there are only 20, they represent the sum total of anarthas which prevent us from attaining Krishna prema. If we study these naimittic leelas and pray to Krishna and Balaram from the core of our heart with all sincerity and all surrender to please remove these anarthas and all the manifestations of these anarthas and all the extensions and varieties of these same anarthas from our heart, then we'll see that pure devotion or Shuddha Bhakti is within us. It is given to us from the Lord. It emanates from the Lord, Vishuddha Sattva. So I don't think we have to consider the other 6,000 demons. In other words, if these 20 demons are thoroughly eradicated from our heart, then Haribo, you're in good shape. Janardhan? I believe so. Is that right? Putana is the first demon that Krishna killed. How old was he? 6 days or something? He was 6 days old. In one sense, you could say that, because in other words, you're saying that if we kill the cheating tendency, and the way you kill the cheating tendency is by establishing the principle of satyam, truth. So the absolute truth is Krishna, and the absolute perfection is for the jiva to surrender to the absolute truth completely. So if you understand that if you try to establish 100% truth in your life, which the antithesis of that truth or the cheating and lying is represented by Putana, then you become fully self-realized. And then it automatically removes all the other Krishna Surya Samamayahaya Andhakara. Krishna is the sunlight. And Krishna means the truth. The absolute truth is the absolute brilliance of sunlight. So anarthas represent darkness, Andhakara. So if you establish perfect absolute truth in your mind and heart and life, then there's no darkness. There's no anarthas. So you don't have to worry about Bakasura and Agasura. They'll be all gone. Just like when there's a forest fire in the forest, then so many, everything is burned up. When that brilliant light, when that brilliant heat and light of a forest fire sweeps through the forest, all the trees are burned, all the snakes are burned, all so many animals, everything is totally burned up. So that light, that fire is compared to the fire of transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge, which is the absolute truth, or param satyam. Param satyam na dhimahi. Dhimahi means we should meditate on the param satyam. This is the Vedic Vedanta Sutra, Param Satyam Dhimahi, in the first verse of Bhagavatam, and it's the whole Bhagavatam is a purport on that, basically. Param Satyam Dhimahi. So, if we establish that brilliant fire, transcendental knowledge, or absolute truth in our life, then all the weeds, all the trees, all the snakes, all the scorpions, they'll all be burned up. That's right. Your idea is right. But that's not easy, to establish the absolute truth, to live every moment in the absolute truth, to always think of the absolute truth, and always speak the absolute truth. That's perfection. That's Krishna consciousness. To always be Krishna conscious means to always be bathing, to always be bathing in the pure light of transcendental truth, of the absolute truth. And if you're always bathing in the pure light of the absolute truth, no contamination can come to you. No contamination can remain within you, within your mind, your heart, because you're being nourished and bathed by the continual downpour of the shower of transcendental nectar from the lotus feet of Krishna. Vishuddha sattva. This is given by the Lord. For one who aspires for the absolute truth, then the Vishuddha sattva potency, or the Swarup Shakti of the Lord, will emanate from the heart of the Lord and illuminate the heart of the devotee. And when that Swarup Shakti or Vishuddha sattva potency illuminates the heart of the devotee, then it brings along with it Shuddha Bhakti and Param Satyam. It brings the highest truth, and it brings the highest devotion. And Prabhupada explains in one purport, I believe in the first canto, and again it's explained in the 11th canto, that these four sins, if we engage in these four sins, then they act to destroy the religious principles. In other words, asuric, you know, the asuric qualities, the demoniac qualities, destroy the divine qualities if they're in excess. But then the divine qualities, when they become excessive, then they destroy the demoniac qualities. So it's explained that this quality of mercy, this is a religious principle, mercy, that's destroyed by what? Does anyone know? What sin destroys the religious principle of mercy? So, killing animals is not very merciful. Oh, I didn't kill him. I just ate McDonald's. Well, you killed him. You go to M Block Market and eat McDonald's, you might as well go out to the farm and cut the head off a cow. But killing animals, killing is not very merciful. Is it merciful to kill? So if you eat animals, they have to be killed and slaughtered mercilessly. So when you kill animals or you eat meat, fish, chicken, eggs, all these things, then that destroys, that sin of meat eating destroys the religious quality or principle of mercy. Right? What's that? Mercy. Kripa? Karuna? What do you call it? Karuna. Compassion. Where's your compassion? You're killing the poor animal. He's crying. He's crying and he's hurt. He's pain. He's suffering. So that's now cleanliness. Cleanliness is a religious principle. Clean body, but more important, clean mind. Chaito dharpana, consciousness should be clean. No greed, no anger, no lust, no envy. Clean mind, clean heart. So what destroys this cleanliness? Playing, when one gets involved with bodily activities, bodies are very dirty. Bodies are dirty. The human body is dirty. It's full of stool and urine and pus and sweat. It's very dirty. A man's body is dirty. A woman's body is dirty. So when bodies combine and illicit sex, it creates a dirty situation. All kinds of fluids and different things. A very contaminated thing. That's one aspect of how illicit sex or association with man and woman, it creates a dirty situation. But the real thing is that it creates a dirty mind and a dirty mentality. So cleanliness, your clean mind, not only your clean body, but your clean mind is destroyed by associating with the opposite sex. Because when pum sastriya matuni bhavametam, janasya moho yam ahamameti, when one associates intimately with the opposite sex, janasya moho yam ahamameti, it creates a huge illusion. It covers your mind. It covers your mind and heart with a tremendously thick and dense illusion. You think, I am man. I am woman. I am enjoying. I am senses. I am body. I am enjoying. And this illusion becomes so thick that you can never, ever, ever get out of it. So that's an intense dirtiness in the mind. Your mind becomes so dirty with this illusion that you can't even think that I'm not the body. You can't even think that I'm a spirit soul. You can't even think about God. All you think about is man, 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 woman, 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 woman. That's the result of illicit sex. So you become very dirty in the mind and very dirty in the body. So the sin of illicit sex destroys the religious quality of cleanliness. Understand? Now, austerity. Remember our key. M-C. Austerity. So austerity means controlling the senses. It means self-denial. Giving up your pleasure and your happiness for the happiness of another. Giving up your pleasure and happiness for the happiness of Guru and Krishna. Tolerating some inconvenience. Tolerating the pleasures and pains of living in the material world. And tolerating the bad vipakam, the bad karma that we've accumulated from last life. That verse is there, the Brahma Vandanam. Tateno kampam sushimikshimano punjana evatmat kritam vipakam. Kritam vipakam. Kritam vipakam means the bad things that we did, we tolerate it. That's austerity. But a person who doesn't want to, a demoniac person, he'll take shelter of intoxication. He says, I can't tolerate. I can't tolerate. I don't want, I'm suffering, so let me drink. Let me take charis. Let me take drugs. Let me drink some diplomat and Scotsman, some whiskey, and forget my troubles. Oh, I'm suffering from my last life. I don't want to suffer. I won't tolerate it. I won't perform the austerity of paying my dues. I'll cover myself with alcohol and drugs so I don't have to suffer this austerity imposed upon me by my bad karmas. Right? So when you turn to intoxication, then you lose the ability to perform austerity because you lose the quality of patience and you lose the quality of tolerance. Without patience and tolerance and determination, you cannot perform austerities. So when you get intoxicated, this coffee, tea, and all these things, you lose control of your senses. You lose all self-control. You lose your patience. People that are intoxicated are very impatient. And you lose your ability to do any kind of austerity. Because as soon as any pain comes, oh, it's too painful, let me take a drug. I don't want to undergo any pain. So taking this intoxication drains one of all the qualities that are required to perform austerity. Taking intoxication, booze and cigarettes, all it destroys determination, it destroys patience, it destroys tolerance, and these are required. You cannot perform austerity. Then, what's the last one? Truthfulness. So truthfulness, this religious principle of satyam or truthfulness, is destroyed by lying propaganda. By lying propaganda, by lying, by cheating, by gambling. This all comes under the category of gambling. So it's a sin, it's an irreligious activity, it's a sin to gamble, to cheat, to lie. These are sins. So when you gamble, play cards and state lottery, oh, I may win so much. It's all cheating. This is all a type of cheating. So any kind of cheating is the enemy of truth. So if you're cheating your guru, oh, I'm cheating the temple. I'm cheating Krishna. I'm cheating my guru. All you're doing is destroying the quality of truthfulness. You're preventing yourself from cultivating the religious principle of truthfulness by cheating, by lying. Not only just gambling. It doesn't mean, oh, I don't gamble. I don't play cards. I don't play state lottery. I don't go to Las Vegas. You know, the lottery, you pay 1 rupee and get some little lottery. They call it lottery. Lottery. I don't play these things. That's gambling. So I must be developing a lot of religious truthfulness. Maybe you're not developing any truthfulness at all because you're cheating and you're lying. It's explained that if someone speaks nothing but the truth for 12 years, then whatever that person says will come true, will become true. Like if you say, I, you know, I, You have the power, almost the power to curse someone. If you tell, you every single moment of the day, you tell the truth. But we know that's very difficult. It's very difficult for politicians and women to tell the truth. Chanakapanda says you can never trust a woman or a politician. But now let's examine that, because the women will get defensive and say, oh, you're a chauvinist pig. I'm a chauvinist pig because I'm down on women. But let's examine this. Chanakapanda says you cannot trust a woman or a politician. Well, what this also means is, in Kali Yuga, every man is a politician. Every single man in Kali Yuga is a politician because he's always trying to jockey for position. He's always trying to get some advantage up from others. So everybody is a little politician. Sometimes they say in the temple, they say, oh, we're having a problem. You know, the Bengalis are doing politics. You ever hear this expression? The Bengalis in the temple are doing politics. Or the Biharis are doing politics. Or, you know, not to pick on the Bengalis. Or the UP wallets are doing politics. Or the Arisant devotees are doing politics. You ever hear this expression? I've heard it so many times. Oh, Maharaj, there's a problem in the temple. There's some politics. Really? I thought we were Brahmin. This is Brahmins. This is supposed to be Brahmin Varna. Politics is the Varna Dharma for the Kshatriyas, for the politicians. But we see, practically, that everyone in the Kali Yuga is a politician. What does a politician do? He promises you everything, and he does nothing. So devotees are like that. They say so many things, but they do nothing. Oh yes, I will do this, and I will do that, and I will read this, and I will chant so many rounds, I'll read so many books, and I'll go to the program, and then they do nothing. They don't go to the program, they don't chant so many rounds. They make 1,000 vows to do service, and break 1,001 vows not to do service. This is a politician. Politician promises, I will do this and this, then he doesn't, he breaks all those promises. So we promise to read every day a chapter of Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, and then we break the promise. So that's a type of cheating. So then where's the truthfulness? So therefore we can't trust anyone in Kali Yuga. A man who's attached to a woman, a man who acts like a politician, or a woman, they can't be trusted. So all we have is men and women that are like, the men in Kali Yuga are like women, the women, that's their nature. The nature of a woman is just to tell the truth with a curve. A woman tells the truth with a curve on it. Usually the truth is straight and narrow. This is the truth. A woman tells the truth, a slight curve on the truth. So men now are speaking truth like this, a slight curve on it. Were you in Mangalarti? Were you in a morning program yesterday? Yes, I was there. So what does that mean? Yes, I was there. Does that mean I was there for the prasadam part of the morning program? Prasadam is also part of the morning program. So a temple president might say, Krishnadas, did you attend the morning program? Oh yes, I was in the morning program. Because in his mind, he's thinking, there's five parts to the morning program. Right? There's the Mangalartik, then there's the Nisringa prayer, then there's the Tulsi Artik, then there's the Guru Puja Artik, then there's the Bhagavatam. There are six parts. There's six, and the prasadam. Were you in the morning program? Yes, I was there.
1/6.
Ashwatthama,
the elephant,
is dead. Were you in the morning program? Yes.
1/6.
one out of six parts. So that's also cheating. That's also lying. That's also gambling. That's also against truth. So like this, we tell all of these kind of lies year after year after year. And so whatever we say will never have much power. But if you, at every moment, when anyone questions you and asks you, you tell the truth exactly on the point. Of course, sometimes you have to vary that. If it's some demon coming to kill your wife or something, he knocks on the door, is your wife here? Oh yes, she's in the bathroom. No, then you say, no, she's went out to the market, come back later. And then you go and you get one big gun, and he comes back later and he comes in. You So you don't tell the truth to a demon who's going to kill you, but generally we should always tell the truth. For protecting the devotees, for protecting our family members from demons, and sometimes we may have to tell some little curve. But when we're speaking to guru, or husband to wife, or wife to husband, or speaking to guru's representative, or GBC, temple president, we should be straight on the spot, as they say, spot on. Tell the truth. In the West, when you go to the courtroom, I remember we used to get, I never got arrested until I became a Hare Krishna. Then when we go on Harinam and book distribution, we get arrested so many times. So I remember going into the judge, and then they have a Bible, and you put your hand on the Bible. He says, you have to swear in now. Do you swear? Do you promise? And swearing means you promise. Do you promise to tell the whole truth? The whole truth, 100% truth, and nothing but the truth? Yes, sir. Yes, Your Honor. I promise. Well, and then they ask you so many questions. Do you take an oath? You take an oath, you say sankalpa. You promise to tell the complete truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But that's Krishna. To tell the whole truth means to tell everything about Krishna Katha. And nothing but the truth means to always speak about Krishna. Krishna Shiksha, Bajo Krishna, Bolo Krishna, Bajo, was it? Koro Krishna Shiksha. Always speak about Krishna's teachings, always worship Krishna, always chant Krishna's name. So this is the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So we should try to come to this platform where we always speak the truth. And then there'll be no lying within us, no gambling, everything will be, all this cheating will be destroyed.